the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to this online service with St. Stephen's United Church in Qualicum Beach. We're very glad that you can join us. The Christ candle that we light each week reminds us of the hope and light that Jesus brings into the world. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me this opening prayer written in the 5th century by Augustine of Hippo? Eternal God, light of the minds that know you, the joy of the hearts that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you, grant us to know you that we may truly love you, so to love you that we may fully serve you. Whom to serve is perfect freedom. Amen.
Good morning. Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession. Lord Jesus Christ, you used your hands to heal, to lift up, to bless, to sow kindness and tenderness in desolate lives. Forgive us when we keep our hands at our sides, when we could be reaching out in love. You used your hands to bear the burdens of others and to feed the hungry. Forgive us when we use our hands to take care of ourselves without any thought for those who are hungry or overwhelmed with adversity. You used your hands to welcome and to include those who were considered outcasts in the society of your time. Forgive us when we clench our fists and exclude people simply because they are different from us. Jesus, open our hands and our hearts to love as you love, and help us to accept people as you accept them, as people made in the image of God and precious to him. We pray this prayer in your name. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. There is forgiveness and steadfast love in God, who saves us from all of our sins. God has shown his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, reading through to verse 43. Jairus' daughter and the woman who touched Jesus Christ, Jesus' cloak. Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake. There at the lakeside, a large crowd gathered around him. Jairus, an official of the local synagogue, arrived, and when he saw Jesus, he threw himself down at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is very sick. Come and place your hands on her, so that she will get well and live." Then Jesus started off with him. So many people were going along with Jesus that they were crowding him from every side. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years, even though she had been treated by many doctors. She had spent all her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She had heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself, "If I just touch his clothes, I will get well." She touched his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once, and she had the feeling inside herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once, Jesus knew that power had gone out of him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my cloak?" His disciples answered, "You see how people are crowding you. Why do you ask who touched you?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman realized what had happened to her, so she came, trembling with fear, knelt at his feet, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." While Jesus was saying this, some messengers came from Jairus' house and told him, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" Jesus paid no attention to what they said, but told him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Then he did not let anyone else go on with him except Peter and James and his brother John. They arrived at Jairus' house, where Jesus saw the confusion and heard all the loud crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, "Why all this confusion? Why are you crying? The child is not dead. She is only sleeping." They started making fun of him, so he put them all out, took the child's father and mother and his three disciples, and went into the room where the child was lying. He took her hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." She got up at once and started walking around. She was 12 years old. When this happened, they were completely amazed, but Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone, and he said, "Give her something to eat." Here ends today's gospel. Thanks be to God.
Well, as we've just heard, our reading for today is a story within a story. It tells us about two healings that Jesus performed, one of which happened as he was on his way to do the other. What's interesting about this section from Mark is the temptation we might easily feel to look at these healings as two separate stories, rather than keeping them together and reading them as one whole. Doing that can really affect how we think about what these verses have to say and might have to say to us. I have heard it said, when people have done that, that Jesus' words to the woman who reached out and touched his robe, "Daughter, your faith has made you well," that those words suggest somehow that if our faith is just strong enough, then Jesus can heal us. And I can even see how you might arrive at that conclusion if you do read just that one part of this passage. However, before I go any further, please just let me say, please, please don't do that, because that's a dangerous oversimplification. We must remember that her healing happened in the middle of another story, the healing of Jairus' daughter. And when we read it as part of that larger story, we can't help but see that this whole question of how our faith plays into God's ability to heal, or willingness to heal, or just healing, that it's all much more complex than that. Yes, the woman seems to have had a courageous faith. She believed that Jesus could heal her when no one else had been able to. And even more, she dared to hope that he might. And he did. He did heal her. And her already commendable faith must have been multiplied as it began to sink in for her that at last she was well. But we can't just draw conclusions from her part of the story. We need to see what Jairus's experience shows us as well. Remember, Jairus was a Jewish man. He was a leader from the synagogue. And his daughter, young daughter, was so sick that she was near death. Now, it would have taken him his own dose of courage to approach Jesus. Remember, his colleagues, the other leaders in the synagogue, didn't generally approve of Jesus or of his followers. And yet, despite that, Jairus did go. He found Jesus, and he asked him to come to help. He too seemed to believe that Jesus could bring that healing he was seeking. And like the woman, he also seemed to dare to hope that Jesus might. But what do you think happened to his courageous faith when word came that they hadn't arrived in time, that it was too late, and that his precious little girl had died? It's not hard to imagine how he might have felt in those moments. His hope likely died with her, and any faith he had had in Jesus probably dissipated as the heavy blanket of grief came to rest upon him. Jairus may have started out with faith in Jesus, but it likely didn't last. And it wasn't until he'd actually lost all hope that Jesus worked the healing, a miracle that ended up being even more amazing than that healing of the woman. Jesus raised that little girl from death to life right there in front of her heartbroken parents. Well, hearing these two stories together makes it tough for us to draw the conclusion that God's willingness to heal is somehow related to us having strong enough faith. We can see that the woman had dared to trust that Jesus might be the one who would finally restore her to health and to the fullness of life that she had been kept from for 12 long years. And he did heal her and restore her and commended her trust in him. But Jairus had also dared to trust that Jesus might be able to heal his daughter. And he didn't see that immediate longed-for result. Jesus didn't offer a prayer from afar or move heaven and earth to make sure he got there in time. She died. And as we can see, it is likely that any faith Jairus had was probably shattered in those moments. But Jesus didn't turn his back and walk away from Jairus. He didn't chastise him for not having strong enough faith. He urged him to carry on. He said, "Do not fear, Jairus, only believe." Jesus encouraged Jairus not to give up. In the presence of the woman's faith, Jesus healed. In the presence of Jairus' loss of faith, Jesus healed. And that, friends, is both comforting and unsettling for us. Comforting because it means that I obviously don't have to be able to muster a strong enough faith to be healed myself or to see my prayers for your healing answered. But unsettling because it also means that I am not in control of getting the healing I seek. There's no way that I can be assured that it will come. There is no surefire prayer, no guaranteed ritual, no perfect state of heart or mind that will assure me that I get the miracle I'm asking for. There's nothing I can do to control this. And like most of you, I'm not crazy about that idea. Not at all. I spend a not insignificant amount of time asking God to heal people I care about. And a part of me really does wish that this was simpler, that there was something I could learn to do that would ensure that those miracles I'm seeking come. But the first and the most obvious message from this reading is that there isn't one sure thing that we can do. And yes, at first that might feel like not so good news. But stay with me here for a minute, because there actually is very good news tucked within that realization. Ultimately, this story isn't about what we can do. It's about what Jesus can do. And even more, it's about what Jesus is doing, which is simply, and in the broadest sense, bringing life. His whole mission, his whole reason for coming and being and dying and rising was to do just that, to bring life to me, to you, to all of God's creation. Everything God is doing in and through Christ is about that. Remember, Jesus said it in John's Gospel, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Everything God does is about moving us towards that goal, life restored to fullness, the fullness God wants for us, a fullness I truly believe we all deeply want for ourselves. The further along that I go in my life, the more I am convinced that humans are built with this inherent longing for life. Not just heart-beating, breathing life, but life in a much broader sense. Life that is truly full and rich and vibrant. Regardless of your personal level of faith, or even your personal faith address, Christian or otherwise, believer, agnostic, atheist, I think we're all seeking this abundant life Jesus speaks of. We sure see this in our stories. Some biblical scholars actually think that that woman may have actually practiced cultic magic. That may have been why she thought if she just reached out and touched the hem of his robe, she would be healed. And we know that Jairus was Jewish, and very likely deeply committed to his faith. He was a synagogue leader. Yet both of these people, with very different spiritual perspectives, seem to sense that Jesus might be the one who could restore life. Remember, that's what any form of healing actually is. It's part of our lives that are broken or diseased or damaged in some way, being restored to the fullness it was created for. Healing is ultimately the restoration of life. And Jairus and that woman both somehow sensed that Jesus was their best hope for that. And so I guess my question for you is simple. Do you sense this? Are you prepared to dare to believe that, like Jairus and that woman did, that out of all the options out there, following in the ways of Jesus might be your best shot at finding the life you seek? We don't know what happened to these two after Jesus performed those miracles. But we do know he didn't seem interested in just passing out a healing or two and then carrying on. In both cases, he could have quite easily just asked God to heal the person and then carried on with his friends without ever looking back. But he didn't do that. He stopped. He wanted to know them. He went with Jairus to his home and ensured that both Jairus and his wife were there to see their daughter begin to breathe again. And he wanted to be part of that moment with them, to know them and to have him know that, them know that he cared. And it was the same with the woman. He stopped when he felt the healing power go out of him. He wanted to know who she was, to see her, to encourage her faith, to look at her and call her daughter. She'd been a social outcast for 12 years, but Jesus wanted to know her. And he wanted her to know that he cared. In both these cases, these two people came to Jesus for healing. And in both cases, they ended up with so much more than just bodies being restored. They got a taste of life in all of its fullness and abundance. The life that we all long for. The life that Jesus came to bring. Amen.
Please pray with me. Holy God, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear these, the prayers and petitions of your people, called by your great name to be your people of grace and mercy in this world you so lovingly created and seek to bring back into a right relationship with yourself. We give honor and thanks to you today as we humbly acknowledge you as creator of all that is seen and unseen, of all that has been, is now, and is yet to come. Thank you for the summer season that is upon us, the show-stopping glory of sunsets, stars, and natural wonders in the everyday that energize us to be more active and appreciative in this beautiful part of your world. We value the people and creatures you bring into our lives who bless, teach, and inspire us to be more like you. Lead us personally and as the church to give more than we receive, to listen more than we speak, to seek your will rather than our own. What a blessing that vaccines are slowing the COVID-19 pandemic to a point that our health officials can lift restrictions and allow us to finally be reunited with loved ones, some of whom have not been together for many, many months. We pray for the safety of travellers. Jesus, Sovereign King, you are the great physician and healer of all that has fallen, and we thank you for your loving kindness in caring for our wholeness and wellness. You are our great Redeemer and the lover of our souls. We give thanks for all who receive your mercy, and we lift up in confidence now those people and situations known to us that need your healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. In the love and empowerment of your Holy Spirit, give us eyes and ears of faith, we pray, to see and hear your call to love those that you ask us to tend and pray for. We wait upon you in trust and thankfulness that you have redemption and resurrection for all. Church, I invite you to pray with me now the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Your gifts to the ministry of St. Stephen's and the Mission and Service Fund are very much appreciated. Please pray the prayer over these gifts with me, dedicating them to God's purposes. Holy One, you have given yourself to us in Creator, in Christ, in the Spirit. We now give back to you this money that seems so little, this worship that seems so small, these words that never quite get it right. Receive what we offer and transform it by the power of your Spirit into enough money, sufficient praise, worthy words for proclaiming and enacting your kingdom in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, at this time of year, it's graduation season, and we have a tradition here at St. Stephen's of praying for our congregation members as they graduate and finish high school and prepare to move on to the next steps in their lives. Well, this year we have one graduate. Zara Walsh is finishing high school this year. And so while we can't be together in person to pray for Zara, we will still pray together in spirit. And so I hope you will join me now in saying this prayer for Zara. Loving God, thank you for Zara, for the wonderful way you have made her and helped her to grow, for the gentle, loving girl she has been, and for the kind and capable young woman she has become. We thank you for her spirit, for the way she has embodied love to us, and for all of the gifts she has shared with us from the time she was little. As she graduates and prepares for the next stage of her life, we ask that you would be with her. Stay close. Whisper your dreams for her into her heart. Give her courage and strength and the determination to pursue those dreams. Help her to continue to grow in the knowledge and assurance of your love for her. Lead her as she continues to grow in her faith in a manner that is meaningful for her and fruitful in her life. We have been so blessed to watch Zara grow, and now we answer your call to continue to be available to her in this new chapter of her life as her home church family. Call us to pray for her in those moments when you know she needs it. Help us to encourage her and grace us with the ability to embody your love to her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you wherever you may go. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storms. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.
There is no other. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which people are saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I've never known, I found in the grace that flowed in me. In my wounded me whole, and the captive set free.